Jerry Wisentowski is a big fan of Mac Wiseman, and who isn't? He's got a brand new album entitled Thanks Mac. He will explain to you how he got into singing the Mac Wiseman songbook, why he does it, and why he does it so well. Fascinating story. Jerry's a wonderful guy. Great new album, by the way. Thanks, Mac. You're going to want to listen to why Jerry up in New York became a very, very big fan of Mac Wiseman and why he sings it so, so well. I'm really happy to welcome the Unreal Bluegrass, someone who I know and someone whose music I have, but I've never met Jerry Wisentowski.
Steve, it's a pleasure to be here with you.
I know you from a mutual friend, Mark Horowitz. And I will tell you that Mark called me one day and said, you got to hear this guy sing. And then you wound up sending me some music. So I have your most recent album, which is named what?
It's called Thanks, Mac.
Okay. And the Mac we're talking about there is Mac Wiseman.
Correct.
All right. They're great. It's an absolutely great album. And I want you to talk a little bit about your connection with Mac Wiseman, as you really do. You sound like Mac. You have all that emotion that Mac had, which is a good thing. I'm not. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. But let's talk about that connection in the new album.
Well, I've been playing bluegrass since I'm about 15 or 16 years old in the great bluegrass city of New York City. That's where I grew up. That's where our mutual friend, Mark Horowitz, grew up as well.
There's more bluegrass in New York City than almost any other city. I'm always amazed. I talked to Mark about all these people that are there and surrounding me. It's incredible.
Well, it's true. However, that wasn't true when we were coming up
in the
early mid-60s.
Right.
But in any event, what we did was get all the bluegrass records that we could and swallow them and try to spit it back out. And among them, since I was delegated with the job of being the guitar player and the singer, so I was listening to all of the first-generation greats, whether it was Lester Flatt and Carter Stanley and Jimmy Martin and so forth, but one of them was Mac Wiseman, and it was clear to me in listening to him that there was something different going on in terms of the quality of his voice as well as his interpretation. So over the years, I began to incorporate, without really thinking or planning it, more of his style, and periodically people would say, Jerry, you sound like Mac Wiseman. And boy, that made me feel great. So, skipping to just a short number of years ago, I was fortunate to get the Bear Family set of Mac Wiseman's early recordings, and I had many of them, but I didn't have them all, and there were some things on there that just blew me away. And that's where the idea gelled, that Mac Wiseman, of all of the first generation bluegrass people, was the only one who was still alive, and wouldn't it be wonderful to have a tribute to him? And how difficult would it be for most people to do it? Because who can sing like him?
Nobody except you.
Well, I thought I didn't assume or presume that there might not be somebody out there. I just didn't know who it might be.
Right, I know.
So I thought that I would try it. And in the process, I assembled a great group of musicians to help me on the sessions. Had some help in that. And I was fortunate through the intercession of Pete Wernick to get to talk to Mac, and eventually to meet him, and have him hear it, and have him pronounce his blessing upon the effort. So it was really a great pleasure for me.
When did that happen in relation to when this last album came out? When did you meet Mac and get the thumbs up?
Well, it was probably in the spring of 2017.
Oh, so just recent?
No, yeah. Okay. Well, it came out.
Was the end of the last? Was
it? I'm sorry. It may have been in the summertime of 2017, thereabouts. But it was when it was in Rough Mix. He heard it at that stage.
Did you go visit him?
I did.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Was Pete there?
No.
Pete just allowed. Pete set it up so you could go. That you could go meet.
Pete told Mac who I was, what I had done, and such that when I did finally call, he was expecting my call.
Who's on the album? You talked about getting people together to do this album. Give me the names of some people on the album.
Well, first of all, I'm from Milwaukee. At least that's where I've been living for many, many years. And a former Wisconsin resident moved to Nashville some years ago. And he's become the kind of guy who puts people together. His name is John Fabke. F as in Frank, A-B-K-E. I just want to give him credit. And he assembled a bunch of people for me to think about and listen to. And when it all came down to it, I got Chad Cobb playing fiddle. Jenny.
Go ahead. Get it out. Okay.
I just blanked on the Jenny Obert also played fiddle, so we have double fiddles. Jeremy Stevens, who plays, of course, in High Fidelity Bluegrass, playing banjo. Paul Coward playing bass. Marco Bashan playing mandolin. And no less than Joe Mullins singing tenor.
I knew Joe did that because Joe's a friend of mine, and we were talking about it. He said I was singing some harmony on that. So you got some good people with you.
Yeah, I was very pleased. And Joe Mullins, you know, I want to make it clear that he wasn't doing this purely for financial gain. He checked me out before he returned my call.
Right.
And obviously his reputation is on the line. He wanted to make sure that whatever he was doing was going to be show.
How did you choose the songs you were going to release on this? Because there's so many Mack Wiseman tunes that you could choose from.
Well, that's a good question. And I think it's important to note that Mack Wiseman, during his career, you could almost say that he sang with different voices. Sometimes he was singing the same song, recorded them a number of times, but they weren't repeats. They weren't they didn't necessarily copy the prior version. He would often change the key. The later versions, he often sang in a lower key. I don't think that had anything to do with where he could hit the notes that he previously hit. He could, but he wanted it to be more mellow. That's my take on it. That's how I perceived it. But I felt that I could get closer to him, to sounding more like him, in his earlier renditions, when he was singing in a range that, for me, was the top of my range. It wasn't the top of his range.
Yeah.
But when my voice became attenuated more, I felt that it more closely resembled his. So I looked most foremost at his early material that he did in the early to mid-1950s.
That's still a big base to draw from. I mean, The guy was prolific.
Yeah.
And I don't say was, and he's around. He's still doing it. He just released an album a year or so ago,
right,
which was a lot of new songs, told the story of his life, and he still sounds great. As a matter of fact, I talked to him about it. The last song on there is he did with Alison Krauss. Mm-hmm. And he says, I did it in the same key I originally recorded it in. That's a long time ago.
And there were a few exceptions as far as my picking a few things from later renditions. As an example, in the mid-1960s, he put out a recording in which he used Bob and Sonny Osborne. And Bob sang with him on a number of songs, and they were I just thought that those duets were ethereal. So we did I did a couple of those. We Live in Two Different Worlds. There are other songs from that era that I like a lot, didn't get on the recording, so there's just a room for me to do more things. And then I also like some things that he did in the mid-1950s, where he was edging toward rock and roll, things that had a dance beat, because I think that he was feeling the pressure. But I think at the same time, they were certainly still within the realm of bluegrass, and terrific songs like Danger, Heartbreak Ahead. You heard that one, so I recorded that as well.
It's a great sound. I'm so glad that you did it. Now, let me ask you this. I know how I got mine because you sent it to me, because we communicated about it. But how do people find the album? Where can they get it?
Not difficult. I have a website called wizgrass.com, W-I-Z as in zebra, grass.com. And the album is available for purchase there as a CD or download. And in addition, there's a prior album that I have that some folks might be interested in. It has more, the material is more varied. It's called Lucky Break. That's the title of the album.
I know you perform a little bit. You're probably not touring the country with this album. Are you just doing local things?
Well, I'm trying. That's really the effort. In some respects, the reason for the album is, A, to pay homage to Mack. But I would like at this stage in my life to be doing more music.
Okay.
And I really love to perform, much more so than I love to record. So as an example, I know that I have a tour scheduled now for March 2019.
Okay.
Out in the Bay Area, I'm playing with my old mentor who taught me banjo playing back in the day. His name is Jody Stecker.
Sure.
And on that tour is included Keith Little and Chad Manning and Paul Knight on bass. And so I'm really looking forward to that. We have about 6 or 7 dates in early March.
Well, anybody that sees you will enjoy it.
Thanks, Steve.
I appreciate you so much coming by and let me have the album when you did. It's in the playlist. So I can tell you, every time I pull up a tune, I'm just amazed at how great it is.
Well, thank you, Steve. It seems to have made some inroads on the folk DJ list. Interestingly,
well,
it's number eight for the month of August.
And it should really, if you think about it, because although Mac was, and you're in the bluegrass world, but really his music transcended. You know, it bluegrass, yes, but it was also just like people just liked Mac whether they knew he was a bluegrass singer or not.
Right.
They don't keep him in those confines. He was
exactly.
such a powerful singer
mm-hmm.
that if he had any, you know, the voice of the heart, I mean, if he had anything in you at all, you're going to like him, whether you think you like bluegrass or country or whatever, you're going to think that was special.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that you're doing this.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks
it's been a pleasure.
Thanks for stopping by.
Appreciate the time.
All right.